WPTF and Sean Clancy live from Cheltenham for day two. Sean, first off, congratulations on a huge day one of tipping. I don't think anybody did as well as you. I'm pretty sure every horse you mentioned at least hit the board and had a bunch of winners and exactas. I mean, obviously, we were trying to beat some of the shorties and that didn't work out, but I made money off your tips. I hope you did too.
Yeah, I made a little. I was ducking and weaving, and like always, I should have been. I lost my confidence after a race or two. So, if you switch the races, I would have had a much better day. But that's gambling 101, right? That's just, you know, you go back to these lessons you've learned or you thought you learned over your life. But that's all right. We had fun. It's a good day. Good day at Cheltenham for sure.
Good day's racing. Today is a really interesting day. I can't recall in all the time I've been paying attention to this meet having three big odds-on favorites on a single card. Very curious to get your opinion on the three of them, and if we're going to row in with, or if we're going to try to stand against. And let's start off right in the very first race where we've got one of them, extremely live-looking. One of these, if you just bet the fastest horse, it would take you about 12 seconds to handicap the race. But how's it going to play out once we actually get out there?
Yeah, I mean, you can't go against Ballyburn. Look, I mean, he as Ruby Walsh, I think, said, he's the ace in the deck, and then you put everything else in behind him. They had every choice. They had all the choices in the world. They went here. I think he's a standout. He's just, you know, it's a Willie Mullins banker right off the bat. It's dull, but that's just, you know, got to play back to the card reference. It's what you got to deal with.
Play what's dealt in front of you.
Exactly.
What about a bigger price for underneath, or is it not that type of race for you and you want to keep it real simple?
I thought it was too tough. I thought Handstands has been cool during the year. I like him, but I thought he was tricky. I guess if you tried to find some price, I thought Jimmy DeSue maybe from Willie Mullins, same yard. I mean, if you give some price, maybe each way or something. But I thought it was just too tricky a race, short field. You can't be too creative.
I'm with you. I was just going to keep it super simple there. Next hot pot is in the very next race, and that is Fact to File. This one a little bit weaker in the market than the other two big faves we're going to talk about. Certainly has figures and form, once again, to lay over the field. But this was one where I felt like I almost obligated to get a little bit creative.
Yeah, I don't know. I was struggling to be creative here. I mean, to think what Fact to File did to Gaelic Warrior in their last start. I mean, he had Gaelic Warrior so off his game that he literally couldn't jump the last jump in a two-horse race to get a check. And so, like, and we saw what Gaelic Warrior did yesterday. Obviously, stretching 3 miles, that's a little bit of an unknown, but again, Willie Mullins has, you know, he makes so many good decisions and so many. Like, the one thing about him, he's not that, like, you can't just by the book say, oh, this is a Mullins move. I mean, he's got a lot of horses, but he does train horses individually. He runs them individually. You think about what he does. Some horses he runs hard and they run a lot. Other horses he doesn't run much. So I just think I can't defer
to the master.
I can't go against him. I've always liked Giovinco. I thought I've liked this horse all along. I think he's a cool horse at a big price. You know, he maybe could get creative underneath him. And he just tried. You know, if you're trying to be creative in a short field with not a lot of value, I maybe go Fact to File over Giovinco, and you hope you beat Stay Away Faye, who I'm just slightly against. I like the horse, but not sure he's at his best here, 3 miles on heavy ground.
Didn't like adding the headgear, going to be the pace setter.
Yeah.
I thought would get tired, and I was going to try to, you know, I was going to keep Fact to File on side, and I felt like Giovinco and Monty Star were the right ones to play
Monty
second Star for the exact.
Tough. I think Monty Star's steady for sure. I just thought Stay Away Faye, he's a really flamboyant jumper, can really leave one out, and I'm just not sure that's perfect today. Again, you're trying to be creative. I mean, but I do like Giovinco as a bomb, you know, in a short field.
Yeah.
He's a cool horse.
Exacta partner.
Yeah, exactly. I think underneath you could be creative with him.
Let's move on to the third race on the card where we do not have an odds-on favorite. Very curious to get your opinion here because I was at a bit of a loss and going to basically just back something somebody told me to. Might as well be you.
I thought this was very tough. I mean, you know, the obvious ones in a handicap or some Majesté off of Willie Mullins. He had to one run. It was very good. Novices in handicaps is kind of the way to go. Although he's not a novice. He had won in France. But theoretically, he's a novice. He hadn't had a lot of races. Built by Mallymore, I thought was very good off of Martin. Martin Brassel, same thing. He points for these races. Very shrewd. Very good. Now, that price is gone, so I'd be a little careful there. I mean, as complete bombs on horses that I just simply like over the years. I like Benson over the years. I should have bought him in a horse and training sale, and I chickened out. Franciscan Rock is a total bomb. I've always thought he was cool. And Guard Your Dreams, I kind of took notice of him a long way back. Now, those are complete bombs in a wild handicap. If you want big prices, you could throw those in there.
I don't hate the idea sometimes in a race like that of just doing kind of an action exacta, and those kind of horses are the right prices for an action exacta. Would you approve of that, or am I taking something hard, finding the winner, and making it harder, suggesting an exacta?
Well, the one lesson I've learned, I should just give you my money, and I give you my picks and give you my money, and you might come up with whatever the hell an action exacta is, and you'd score. But, you know, that's where I would be lacking in that department as far as money management and ticket creativity.
We've got the big one here in the fourth race of the day, the Betway Queen Mother Champion, and we've got another odds-on favorite in the form of El Fabiolo. Some very talented horses in here, but, you know, just looking at how they stack up against each other, I found El Fabiolo very tough to take on, but I'm hoping you might give me some confidence.
Oh, I just think it's so hard. The scratch of John Bonnet, it just changes the game so much. I mean, I think one thing you got to remember when it comes to these big races is when you water down those big races, the tactics when it comes to jockeys. You know, if you're Paul Talon, El Fabiolo, and Edward Stone's in front of you, and he's bombing away, leaving fences out, leaving strides out, and he's 10 in front of you, and you're trying to decide, when do I go after Edward Stone? If John Bonn is behind you, even he's a questionable jumper, but you would still be thinking, man, I can't go after, I cannot get this wrong. I can't go after Edward Stone early and set it up for John Bonn. Without John Bond, then if you're Paul Town, and then you're looking, okay, I've got, now I can keep, you can keep both eyes on Edward Stone. And I think that just changes. I always said it with the Breeders' Cup, when the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, it was created. You think about American Pharoah halfway down the back of Keeneland, and Liam's map is in front of you, like ripping out these fractions, and he's five in front of you, and you go, oh my God, I got to go after Liam's map. But Tonalist, FNX, Honor Coder behind me, what do I do? And I think when you get these short fields and these watered down grade ones, I think you end up in where the jockey tactics are so much simpler. I'm not saying it's simple. I mean, Paul Town's got all the pressure in the world on him, but I thought El Fabiolo is just a standout. I've always liked Captain Guinness. He was on my stable mail or horse tracker from Racing Post very early. I think he's a cool horse. I guess I'd maybe use him in second, but I don't think you're getting any value. I do think there's some races you stand back and watch and just enjoy. I mean, it's the Queen Mother Champion Chase. It's the greatest 2 mile chase. They fly, and it's as good a sport as you ever see. So I think I'll stand back and watch.
No problem with that. What about the cross country race? They talked about maybe not even running.
They canceled it.
Oh, it's
canceled. Yeah, it's out.
Are they going to try to bring it back Friday?
Rescheduling it Friday, but I just heard I don't think they are going to reschedule it for Friday. So I think
that's a bummer.
Wash.
Maybe bring it back
Which
in
is
April.
A bummer. Yeah, it's a bummer. I mean,
it's a fun
it's
disappointing.
Race. Yeah, it's a cool race. Yeah. I was in a world of trouble on that. I was trying to get away from those favorites, but that's canceled.
There's just a longer break then between.
Well,
races?
they actually moved each race up 15 minutes, and the post time of the Grand Annual is the same. So I guess there might be a little bit more of a break in between.
Gotcha.
But I don't think it's too bad.
Nothing
we
crazy.
Should be able to get a Guinness down. You know, get a Guinness or two down.
That's perfect.
In between. Yeah,
it'll
be
works
okay.
out well.
It'll be okay.
Speaking of the Grand Annual, what do we like in there?
Oh, I thought this was really tricky. I mean, I went everywhere. I thought Madara was so impressive going over to Ireland. I called it the reverse commute. I mean, a British horse went to Ireland and won a big race at their festival. And I thought he was very impressive. I think it looked like there was more in the tank. James Reveley's a great story. He was like kind of going nowhere in England, went to France and rediscovered his career. He's a good jockey. I kind of leaned that way. I thought it was very difficult. People are talking about Samoa is good for Willie Mullins. He's been running in grade ones, but I'm not overly confident with him. I thought he was interesting, maybe, but depending on the price. I thought, I'm going to butcher this French name, Pau Dewar, or whatever you want to say, number 8. He chased home Madar. I thought he was interesting. Gavin Cromwell is very shrewd. I thought he was maybe interesting at a price. And that was about all I came up with. I thought it was Grand Annual is an impossible race.
I don't know that I've ever had the winner.
It is really tricky. And this is where you want to be careful. I mean, late in the day, you're trying to get out. really, you want to be very careful what you do here.
Small action, maybe bet the board.
Liberty Hunter's good. I mean, I thought the British would represent him well here with Liberty Hunter. I think he's a decent horse. Harry Cobden, who I think is just a genius in a saddle, picks up the ride from Evan Williams. I thought he had a live chance for the Brits. You know, and I never thought I'd be rooting for the British, but you kind of get to the point where you're like,
they're the underdogs.
Yeah, you're kind of rooting for the British here. You know, it's changed so much.
Even
right?
even a Clancy and a guy whose mother's maiden name is Flint start rooting for the Brits.
Exactly.
Moscato was one I wanted to ask you about in there. I heard some wise guy chatter about that runner. Did you give any count?
Yeah, I mean, I think she's very... I love her. I mean, I think she's great. Same thing. Henry de Bromhead's very good. I think she's live for sure. I mean, I might have picked her third. I had to say maybe fourth, fifth if I was going that deep. But I thought she's live. It's a really tricky race. You got to be... You just want to be careful when it comes to these races.
No doubt. Now, next up is a race that you've had some of your greatest successes in, but I do know that this is very much of a paddock race for you, talking about the champion bumper, as I remember, a Harry Molly.
Harry Molly.
From all those years ago that you came back saying, you know, couldn't lose at 30-1 or whatever the hell it was. We had a good night that night.
Yeah, that was fun. That was 33s, and my great friend David Mullins, who I had taken 33s, and then I liked him so much I took 25s even. And he was like, you backed him at 25s. I was like, man, I just liked him so much. And he started giving me grief. And I'm like, hey, I won. Like, I'm okay. Give me a break. Like, I won. And that was my wife, Annie. She was here at the time. And she and I both, at the same time, it was like, it was pure, like, kismet. We were just like, we kind of looked
Who's
at each other
horse?
Like, who is that? And it was Harry Molly, Paul Carberry, one of the all-time greats. So yeah, for me, some of these races are paddock picks. As you know, Pete, like, some of my best moves are really kind of paddock picks and just looking at kind of demeanor and composure and type. So I'm definitely looking to paddock and see what we can come up with.
I should force you to send out a tweet. I know you're busy, but I should force you to send it just for the bumper.
Yeah,
not all day, but just for the bumper.
I should.
But who do you like on form? Who do you like out of the program?
I thought the horse that I thought was interesting was Gordon Elliott's horse, the Yellow Clay.
Yeah.
And if you watch that bumper back, he really got steady. He really steadied at a crucial time. Now,
it was a bad trip.
It was a bad trip. First race off, a long layoff. And he was kind of going for it. And then he got steadied really, checked really sharply. And you could see it was like the jack said, okay, I'm not going to win. Now I got to gather him back up. And especially when a bumper, you're still trying to grow the horse. You're still trying to develop the horse. I thought it was a very cool ride to kind of start running on and be fourth. That's really the way I went. I thought that was interesting. And then, you know, Mullins has so many. I mean, to me, you got to let Patrick Mullins kind of be your handicapper here.
Yeah.
You know, he picked his ride, and I think it's important to kind of say, okay, he knows better than I do. He's on all of them. He's got his choice. I think that's important. Beyond that, I'm just going to go to the paddock and try to pick one. Patches on Jasmine Devoe.
Yeah, nine runner here.
Probably butcher that French name, too.
Jasmine Devoe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we need an Italian here. That's good. And he claimed Irish, which I was impressed with. So he got Irish and Italian, which I'm very impressed with that we have all that. So.
I got to ask you about Tishan before we get out of here. That was the other one I was a little bit interested in this race. Harry Cobden runner. Who I was hearing Jamie Codd, who I respect a lot, who does a blog for attheraces.com, had mentioned and seemed like of the British runners the most interesting one. It was a form line that looked a little interesting to me.
I could see it, and I think sometimes we do get. I mean, obviously we talk about gambling. You have to be a contrarian. You really want to try to come up with a different angle. And so many, the whole place and the whole world is going, oh, the Irish in the bumper. So in a way, if you want to zig and you want to zig when others are zagging, the horse. A nice horse. I think British actually, I think they've improved a little bit in the bumper over the years. I think there's a better chance. Paul Nichols, the one thing about Paul Nichols, he used to, and he'll tell you this, he used to just throw everything at the Cheltenham Festival. In that kind of, back when, I mean, he had ammo, like nobody had ammo at the time. But even he'd run everything here. And I think and he'll tell you this, he's much more shrewd and much more prudent about where he's going to run, who he's going to run here. So I think it is a good positive sign that he's running here rather than maybe 5 or 10 years ago where he just like, oh, hell, with running the bumper. And I think a lot of British trainers were doing that at the time. And you can see they're starting to adjust a little bit. Some of these short fields are the British adjusting to say, okay, the Irish are so good and are so dominant, so many good horses that maybe I want to just... I'm just going to stay away from Cheltenham. I'll try to protect my horse a little and go there. So in a way, some of the British trainers coming here, you can look at as a real sign of positive, you know, notion that they do want to come
there's
here.
There's more intent.
As opposed to 10 years.
Yeah,
10
more
years ago
intent
very
than you just want to show up
for
at the
sure.
party.
10 years ago, they were just, oh, we, you know, we have a day out of, you know, what they call it, you know, an entertainment entry or whatever.
Social runner.
Social runner. Social runner. Yeah, butcher that. Yeah, social runner. I do think there are a lot fewer social runners in today's festival than there were 10 years ago. That's partially because of the Irish domination, but partially because the British have learned, like, I don't want to just ruin my horse with a social runner.
Yeah, especially they run so infrequently. Pick a spot where you think they can win.
Exactly.
All right, Sean, that's all the time we have for today, but we'll do it again tomorrow. Really appreciate you, buddy.
Love it.